Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
NFL fans, it's Wild Card Weekend coming up. The playoffs are here. We have some great games coming up. We're going to have some big predictions to help you in your watching and viewing pleasure. Ed Cleese is here to join us to help us with these picks and predictions, and we're going to give you some great insight of these upcoming games. Ed, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and happy postseason of the NFL.
Well, not for me necessarily, but certainly for you. So happy New Year to all of the Yinzers out there.
Yeah, my postseason started last weekend.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. And what a thrill it was. Yes.
Yeah, that was a very emotional game, but we'll get to that in a little bit here. So what are some of your thoughts from the NFL season?
So I wanted to start by talking about we've talked a lot about the teams that didn't make the playoffs, right? So I figured one last time this year, we can talk about the teams that failed to make the playoffs, teams that had disappointing seasons. And I thought I'd do it in kind of a fun way, sort of like a reverse power rankings. So we had 18 teams that did not make the playoffs. And I started to think, okay, of these 18 teams, who am I? And I decided not to think much beyond 2026. Because as we see, we've talked about it a lot this year. The Lions, the Commanders, teams that were very good last year, on the verge of the Super Bowl, didn't make the playoffs this year. Then we've got the reverse teams, like, of course, the Panthers and several – the Patriots going from 4-13 to the number 2 seed. So we know that in 2026 there's going to be surprises. So these rankings don't mean much. Because we don't know who some of the coaches are going to be. We don't know who some of the quarterbacks are going to be. And I decided not to look too much into, like, too far into the future, because there are certain teams on this list that I'd have higher if you were asking me their overall situation for the next 5 years. But for the purposes of these rankings, I simply focused on how confident am I that this team can be in the playoffs in 2026. Okay. So we'll build the drama. We'll go backwards. And like I said, we don't have enough time to go into too deep into each of these teams. So feel free to jump in if you have a comment about any of these teams in particular. We'll start with number 18, and it's the Jets. And that's probably all I really need to say. I don't think anything happened for the Jets this year that would lead you to believe that they are on the right track.
Yeah, I think that's a Jet that's been grounded, I think, for a while, and it's not looking like it's getting much better.
You can't have much worse of a coaching debut than Aaron Glenn had this year. And they somehow got worse at the end. Number 17, the Cardinals. They're going to undergo a coaching change. They're most likely going to undergo a quarterback change. There's not much on that roster that speaks to me. There's not a lot of strong organizational history there. They're playing a very tough division. So I don't see the Cardinals having much chance to really bounce back next year. Moving right along, similar reasons, I have the Titans. I do think Cam Ward made some strides this year, played pretty well. He got better as the year went on, but they've got a ton of holes. And I don't know how attractive of a job that is. So I didn't have the Titans very high. At 15, we have the Browns. It's funny because, on one side of the ball, they really are pretty good and pretty impressive. But things are still a mess on offense, and they still have the Deshaun Watson thing hanging over their heads with the $46 million they owe him next year. And they're the Browns. So they're the Browns. So I didn't want to put them too high on the list. Number 14, this was maybe a team that's a little bit of a surprise. I have the Tampa Bay Bucks. That feels like a window that is closing quickly. I'm not sure whether or not Bowles will be back or not. They were not good down the stretch, really, at all. Not impressive. That we were talking about Baker as an MVP candidate in week 4 and 5, and he looked very, very average kind of the rest of the year. Not a roster I love, and just not a situation that I think is going to be maybe as good as it appears on paper.
Yeah, that's true. I think ever since Bradley Cooper started mentioning him in the commercials for DoorDash or whatever he's doing, his season sort of went down. I think that killed
There's a
him.
Funny meme out there. It's the life cycle of Baker. It's sort of like call out the haters, have a MVP game, throw 4 interceptions. It's like this cycle that you just kind of go through with him all the time. And I really thought he was past all that. I really did. I thought that he had escaped that. He also has had a new offensive coordinator pretty much every year, almost entire career. But there's just something about that Tampa situation that I don't love right now. So we're going to stay in Florida. At number 13, I have the Dolphins. That's just another situation that I don't think is great. It's like fine. Number 12, I have the Raiders, a little higher maybe on the list. The reason I have them a little higher is they do have the first pick in the draft. And when you have the first pick in the draft, you have an opportunity, okay? You could get the next Drake May or Jaden Daniels or Miles Garrett or, whoever might be there. You have a chance to – you get the first pick. So you have the opportunity to potentially draft the best player in this draft that, comes to you. And there's a very small part of me that likes the Brady connection in Las Vegas too, meaning the ultimate winner is involved with your team. Sounds like he's going to be pretty involved with the coach search. I think their fan base is pretty strong, Raider Nation. There's just something about the Raiders that makes me think this may not be quite as bad as it looked this year.
I'm surprised that you have them that high. I think I would disagree with you on that one. I think they should probably be more like 16, 17, and that range is what I feel, because I don't think one player is going to change it. Just ask Tennessee. They had a number one pick last year and didn't do so good. But yeah, that's one I disagree with you on.
So then we go to number 11, and this is a no man's land team for me, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. There are certain things about Atlanta I like. There's certain things about Atlanta I don't like. I kind of feel like we're talking about them in this kind of vein every year. They're going to switch coaches again. I don't have a whole lot of confidence they'll get it right this time, but it's not a terrible roster. So I just kind of put them right in the middle, kind of right there at number 11.
Yeah, that was one of the more shocking fires. The Harbaugh one is, I think, is number one on everybody's list for shocking. But Raheem Morris losing his job, they had a lot of games where it came down. Maybe if they had a better kicker, they wouldn't have been in that situation. They probably would have won that division. So they were pretty close to winning the division, and to lose your job over that.
The problem I have with that, Darren, and that I think kind of speaks against Morris, is they lost a game like that to the Jets this year. Meaning, it's not like the Falcons sort of just played to the level of every team they played. They beat the Bills, they lost to the Jets. They lose a ton of close games. Very, very poor clock management, both this year and last year. They had a really good chance to make the playoffs last year and didn't make it. This year, I think that strong finish for them was a little misleading. I don't have any problem with them letting Morris go. I don't think it was, I don't think he was horrible, but I don't think there was any reason there, if you're a Falcons fan, to think we got the guy. So they're just in a no man's land situation for me. So I wouldn't be shocked if they're better next year. I wouldn't be shocked if they're worse. More likely, they'll probably be the same exact team again.
Yeah, it could be.
Now, number 10 is one team that I think has a real up arrow, and that's the Saints. That's a team that finished strong and that I kind of like. I got to pump the brakes on Shuck. It was half a season. He was pretty impressive. So we don't know. We'll have to see. But that is a team that clearly got better as the year progressed. Their defense got a lot better. They have a first-year coach. So I think if you're the Saints, you're feeling good going in to 2026. And another team that I think feels probably pretty good is number 9 is going to be the Colts. But the reason I don't have them a little bit higher is because of that Daniel Jones Achilles injury. You know, they ended so poorly, and then your quarterback tears his Achilles, which is probably going to keep him out at least the first part of next year. So you're going to enter the guy, the Colts are going to have a new starting quarterback probably for week one next year again. And that is very difficult to continually overcome.
Yeah, you don't think that like Richardson will be bouncing back?
Or I mean, I don't.
Leonard had a pretty good game.
That's a lot to bank on. You know, that it's a lot to say, oh, Anthony Richardson or Riley Leonard is going to have us playing like a playoff team in week one of 2026.
Philip Rivers takes some Jared Tall. Yeah, really. Out, okay.
Yeah,
passes.
Maybe he'll be back. Yeah. It was a very disappointing end to the season. I don't think you can blame it all on the Achilles injury for Jones because they had started to go downhill a little bit before then as well. So that's an okay situation, you know, just kind of right in the middle as well. This is a team maybe you would have had higher. I've got the Ravens at number 8. I don't think it's an awesome situation. And I think, you know, moving on from your coach for the first time in 18 years, there's some risk there. And like we talked about a lot throughout the year, there was things that just weren't right with them this year. And I don't know if it was just time for Harbaugh to go. There's issues with Lamar. But that's just not, you know, the defense wasn't great either. And there's just sort of, there's something about the Ravens that has me not loving their prospects entering next year.
I think I would even put them lower on that list because I have a feeling there's going to be some player dumpings coming up, maybe some high salaries. Even Lamar, I don't think, is off the table.
It's an older team.
Yeah, yep. And Derrick Henry, you know, some of their defensive players. It's going to be a different team, and maybe a new regime comes in and rebuilds us to a more modern team. You know, I don't know where the direction is going to go, but it might not be the same Ravens that Baltimore fans have been used to.
I could see that for sure. At number 7, I've got the Bengals, who really probably haven't earned being this high on the list, but I'm going to defer a little bit to Burrow because when he plays, they are good. Offensively, they're kind of awesome, actually. Not necessarily an awesome week 8-19 final game last week. But overall, when Burrow plays, Cincinnati plays close to playoff level football. And if they can just make a few additions on defense, that's a team to me that could be back in 2026.
I think they definitely can be back, but they have so many holes in both sides of their trenches, and that's where everything starts. I mean, I don't think their offensive line, it's improved over the last couple of years, but it's by far very porous. That's why Burrow's hurt all the time. He's running for his life. He's getting you know, smacked around by defenders. And playing in that, you know, the division he does with Myles Garrett and TJ Watt and everybody else, it's kind of a bad situation. And their defensive line is in shambles. You know, it's like running through paper mache for any NFL team. And they got a lot of work. They got to stop the run and be able to run to help Burrow out.
And there's not a lot of history or precedent there for Bengals fans to trust that their front office is going to spend the money or make the moves necessary to get better. But I just think the bones are there for a quick turnaround if they could do it smartly.
And that's one coach that I'm surprised as of this recording is still intact. Because I would think that's a little bit disappointing for Bengals fans to reach the Super Bowl and it was so much promise and you're not nowhere near it the last 3 or 4 years.
I was a little surprised he wasn't axed either. But again, they're a team that moves very slowly. So now we're in the top 6. So this would sort of be my maybe the teams that I think could really bounce back next year. And you'll have a theme here because 4, 5, and 6 are from the same division. So number 6, this is going to probably be way higher than most people would have them. I have the New York Giants. The Giants went 4-13 this year. They screwed themselves out of the number one pick by winning their last two games. But that team probably should have won 8 or 9 games this year. So many blown games on the road that they completely had won against good teams like Denver and Chicago. I think there was at least another one in there that was real close that they blew. Dallas, they had Dallas beat early in the year. I think there's and you know, I'm not anointing Dart yet at all, but he did look good. Malik Nabers is very good when he'll be back next year. I can't think of the running back's name there, the Arizona State kid.
I'm
talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yes, so he'll be back next year as well. And there's a structure there, and I think it's an organization that hasn't been good for now almost a decade, but I think it's still a pretty good. I think there's some prestige with the Giants. I think they're not going to have a trouble attracting a coach if they get the coach right. I think there's some stuff there that's good. They have a top five pick again. So the Giants are one of those teams next year I could really see doing a Patriot-like turnaround. Maybe not quite as dramatic, but I could see them winning 5, 6, 7 more games than they won this year.
Yeah, Scataboo is a
– Scataboo. There you go, Scataboo. Thank you very much.
I think, I think with the Giants, this would be my pick if I was a Giants fan rooting for who to pick as a coach. I'd want Kevin Stefanski because – he is great with a young quarterback, great with having, a feature back on his offense, and he's great by picking good coordinators, especially defensive coordinators, to beef up an already pretty strong defense. So if that was my desires, if I was a Giants fan, I'd want Stefanski.
Yeah, I've got some Giants fans in my life, and he's the name that's come up that I think they'd be pretty pleased with. As well. Although, they had that crazy streak in Cleveland of not scoring 20 points in a game. And I realize they have had some quarterback issues, but part of me wonders, Stefanski's an offensive guy, man, it's like at some point dial something up, that's one thing about him that gives me a little bit of concern. Like couldn't figure it out in 2 years how to have like almost one good offensive game, because they really didn't. They were really poor. Moving number five, maybe a little bit of a homer pick here, but I've got the Commanders at number five, and it's based pretty much exclusively on this: their quarterback offensive line situation going into next year is very strong. I'm a believer in Jaden Daniels. I think this was an anomaly type of year. He's got to stay healthy, of course, but so does every other quarterback. Every team needs their quarterback to be healthy. He played 20 out of 20 games his rookie year and then had this in and out season this year where he didn't have any devastating injuries, but got nicked up a lot. And their offensive line is very good. It's actually deep. It's going to be under contract and they have even room to maybe get it a little better. So there's a really good base of the offense there. And I think, they probably 2024 probably was not reality for Washington. I don't think 2025 was really reality either, probably somewhere closer to the middle. And this is a team I think that could pretty easily jump back into the 9 to 11 win range in one offseason. A lot of work on defense to come, but they also have the third or fourth most cap space in the league.
Yeah. I think they're an interesting team to watch, and you don't know where they're going to go. They could go up or they could go down in this rankings, too. But I think one thing they have to do, and it may be their biggest flaw, is they may have to try to restrict what Jaden Daniels does a little bit. His game is his feet and, being a threat to run, and they may have to try to reel him in a little bit to take some of that away, much like, Lamar was in his early career. And I think he's almost like parallel to Lamar with he runs a lot, gets injured a lot. A Dak Prescott, remember how much he used to run in it. These last couple of years, he's sort of had to stay in the pocket and be a pocket passer, become very successful. Maybe something like that could happen. But I would be afraid if they were letting Jaden Daniels run like he has the first couple of
years. Well, I think it's the main reason you saw Cliff Kingsbury get let go today. Because he did a really good job there. And the rumors were that there were some philosophical differences with Dan Quinn. And to me, the translation is Dan Quinn wants to run a little bit more for traditional offense. In that playoff game last year in Detroit, Daniels destroyed the Lions from the pocket. He barely ran in that game at all. He killed them from the pocket. They scored 45 points in that game, and it was almost all through the air. So he's capable. I think Quinn probably echoes your thoughts a little bit and maybe didn't quite see all the way eye to eye with Cliff and probably wants to see an offense that's at least slightly more traditional. So I think that's probably what you're going to get next year.
Yeah, I think if I'm a Washington fan, I'd be having fears of like RG3 syndrome coming up, to have that stellar rookie year and get hurt and, just falls
Luckily,
off through the
the
cracks.
difference here is, RG3 also in college had devastating knee injuries. So by the time he tore his leg knee up with Washington his rookie year, he was already on his second or third ACL. At this point in his career, Jaden Daniels has never had a serious injury to this point. I mean, this year he dislocated his elbow, but it only kept him out a couple of weeks. And then he had a strained hamstring and a bruised knee. You know what I mean? So there's nothing here that should really hamper him. But yes, self-care is going to be a big thing for him moving forward. And also moving forward down to number four is I've got the Cowboys, who this isn't really a feather in their cap per se. It's just that this is just where they always are, right? There's no reason for me to think that the Cowboys won't be able to win 8, 9, maybe 10 games next year, because this is just where they live, right? This is just where they are. I think they can probably get better on defense next year. They can't get much worse. They're just a team that I don't necessarily have super high hopes for, but I also would be surprised if they get any worse. And so you're probably looking at the difference of one or two wins, and Dallas could be a wild card team next year.
Yeah, most definitely. Their biggest bugaboo is their salary cap strap. I mean, they have
Right.
so much invested in like three or four players, and they're going to have to pay a wide receiver next year that they didn't have to do this year. That CeeDee Lamb they did, but that there's going to be another one they're going to want to sign to keep that up, to keep CeeDee Lamb open. And thinking if that's George Pickens or not, I don't know, but he's going to demand probably more money than CeeDee Lamb.
Right. Yeah. So, and again, it's another team, another fan base that probably doesn't have a whole lot of reason to trust that they're going to do what they need to know. The one thing we do know is that Jerry won't sit on his hands. They will probably do something. And I would anticipate that we enter next year feeling similarly about Dallas as we did at the end of the year. And again, if you're an 8-ish win team in the NFL, you're a field goal here, a first down here, away from being an 11 win team. So I would anticipate that they're going to be in that range again. Moving on to the top three, I've got the Lions at number three. There's some real issues there. We saw a real drop off this year. That team was not anywhere nearly as good, but the talent kind of remains. Jared Goff's not going to get worse, I don't think, at this point. He kind of is what he is, which is a pretty good quarterback. I would think that they'll probably figure out some ways to make the offense a little bit better. The defense could get a little bit better. And again, even if they don't get a lot better, I'd be surprised if they get worse. And they were sort of like a borderline team this year. So I think 2026, they'll probably enter the season with some decent outlook.
Yeah, I think they're going to get some health, better health luck maybe next year. Their secondary was totally devastated most of the season. They're down in their third, fourth string receivers or DBs. I mean, their offensive line was sort of in shambles. They had sort of those two big losses. One was kind of a surprise, and then he tried to come back in the middle of the season and just wasn't in football shape, I don't think. So I think that they're going to have to put some draft capital and some free agency into that. Build up that offensive line to protect Goff and let Gibbs and anybody else running the ball, have some freedom. And they got a solid receiving core and very solid offense. And they let go of their Johnny Morton, their offensive coordinator this year after 1 year. So they're trying to find that magic to get that offense somebody to click with Goff and make them very more potent than they were this year.
Yep. Top two. Number two, I just went to the well. It's got to be the Chiefs. If Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are your coach and quarterback combo to start the year, you're going to have a chance. And that is an organization that has proven themselves over the course of time that they'll probably be able to figure some stuff out. And I don't know exactly what that is. This isn't to say that I think they necessarily bounce back to being a 14-win team next year, but I kind of have a hard time believing that we're going to see them in that 5 to 6, 7 win range again. More likely than not, especially if Reed comes back, which I think he will, it would be weird for me to see him come back and then, oh, wow, is it just going to be, are they going to be 5 and 12, 6 and 11 again? I think the Chiefs have a really good chance to bounce back and chalk this up to their sort of transition year.
I they're interesting one to think about too. I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to bounce back into the playoffs. I think they'll be better than a 5-win team, but they're playing an extremely competitive division now. You know, Denver and LA have really increased their prowess, and I'm not sure that the Chiefs are going to catch up to either one of them next year. And that's a problem because that's 4 games on their docket. You know, if your predictions about the Raiders are right and they rise up a little bit, they could give the Chiefs some competition. So their own division is their own worst nightmare. And I'm not sure what divisions the AFC West plays next year, but, you know, who knows? They could be playing the NFC West and they could be in trouble. You know, who right. knows?
But I think I'm just kind of deferring to, give me a Hall of Fame quarterback and Hall of Fame coach with something to prove. And that's the spot they'll be in next year. And of course, I'm making some assumptions that they're going to make some personnel changes to give Mahomes a little bit of help along the line, and maybe at skill position as well. I'm assuming that they won't come back with the exact same unit they had this year. But I think I would be, and we need to make sure that Mahomes is ready to go by the start of next year. But assuming he is, I would anticipate them being in the mix again. Which brings me to number one, which might be a surprise, is I've got the Minnesota Vikings. I thought Minnesota was the best team in the NFL this year that didn't make the playoffs, and it was 100% due to their struggles at quarterback. That defense was awesome, maybe the best in the entire league by the end of the year. And they've got some really nice skill position players as well. They struggled on the O-line a little bit, and the quarterback situation was a nightmare. It was really bad, but I love Kevin O'Connell. I think he is a great coach, and I think given a whole offseason now to work with McCarthy, or if they deem that he's not the guy, you know, to figure out some sort of backup plan, and I'll just say it right now, Minnesota Vikings will be in the playoffs in 2026.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong statement. I think you're right. I think they're good enough to get in there. That's a good pick. I was wondering where you were going to go with that when we got into top five, but I was not expecting Minnesota to be your number one.
So Vikings fans, rest easy. Jets fans, maybe fast forward to 2027.
There you go.
Or 2047.
Yeah. All right. Well, very interesting. That's we'll have to see how that plays out. So I guess maybe you could do some review of our Week 18 picks.
Sure. We'll go through this kind of quickly so we can jump right into the playoffs. But on the Saturday games, we were split. We were head-to-head, and then we split those games. So I had the Panthers, you had the Bucks, you win that one. I had the Seahawks, you had the Niners, I win that one. You also had the Lions, I had that as well. We both got that right, and we both got the Steelers right. So going at that point, we're tied, and then we're going to go into the final pick, which I actually gave myself a 0. Because I had the Texans smoking the Colts and holding them to 13 or fewer points. While the Texans did win the game, that game was 32-30, you know, at the very end there before the shenanigans touchdown. And so I wasn't right. I didn't get that right. So I got a 0 on that. But I did give you 1 because you had the Bengals beating the Browns and Garrett setting the sack record. Browns won the game. Garrett set the record. I gave you 1. That gives you 7 for the week. I got 6 for the week. And that leaves us at the end of the regular season with Darren at 85 and myself at 84.
Wow. It's been a roller coaster ride to her the whole season. We've had that lead go back and forth and been tied a bunch of times. So,
yep. So heading into the playoffs. And like I said, we can, you know, the one that we both got right there at the end, I guess we can both thank Tyler Loop. Because that was I thought about you many times in the last 5 minutes of that game. Because overall, that was not a great football game until midway through the fourth quarter, and then it became the greatest game ever played. Just like that, Very interesting, super compelling. What a way to end the season. And I'm assuming as a Steelers fan, you know, you survived your heart attack and you get to live another week, which is a great feeling.
Yeah, it was a emotional roller coaster the last few minutes of that game. But beating the Ravens anytime, sweeping them in a season, that's outstanding. So we'll take that. And Pittsburgh is very happy this week, that's for sure.
I'm sure they are. So let's move right into our playoff picks.
Okay. I think this week it's your pick to go first.
And this week what we're going to do is we're going to each just pick the winner of the game, of the six playoff games, and then we're each going to provide one bold prediction from each game. So that's a total of two per game. So there's a total on the board of potentially 12 points. You get the winner right, you get your bold prediction right, you get two.
Okay.
So we'll just go in the order that the games are going to be played. So we're going to start with that Saturday afternoon game. That's going to be the Rams at the Panthers. I wish I had something grand to offer in terms of analysis of this game, but I think this game is total chalk. I think the Rams are favored by 10. I think they're going to win by more than that. I think they're going to win. They're going to win easily. I think it's going to be over at halftime. And my bold prediction for it is that they're going to win by 13 or more.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off on that. I totally agree with you. I think the Rams, probably roster-wise, might be the strongest team in this whole field, including the teams that are off this week. I think they have a tremendous defense that causes turnovers. Their offense is extremely potent. Everybody is, from what I understand, is pretty healthy. I think they're going to really dominate the Panthers this week.
All right, so what's your bold on it?
My bold on this is I think L.A. is going to go +2 in the turnover department.
Plus two turnovers. Got it. Okay. Moving on to Saturday night. What a fun, awesome classic. If it's anything like the first two games, we're probably in for a real treat. And if you've been following the podcast all year, you're probably under no surprise of which way I'm going in this Green Bay-Chicago game. Packers. I think the Packers go in there, pull off the mile. It's not even really an upset, really, if you look at the spread at all. I think it's got a lot of people surprised. And what have I told you all year? If the public's all on one side, maybe look at the other side. I think most people think that the Bears should be heavily favored in this game, and they're not. So I think people are kind of leaning pretty heavily towards the Bears, especially with the poor way that the Packers finished the season. But I'm predicting that the Packers win the game, a very close game, and they hit a field goal with 60 seconds or less or overtime to win it. That is my bold part.
All right. Well, here's where our first head-to-head going against it, because I do agree with the public. I think a team that – I think with Green Bay lose the last four. And since Micah went down, it seems like they have just sort of lost control. Love has been in and out of the lineup. They're a little bit shaky. I know you can't really count week 18. Didn't really mean a whole lot to them, but maybe to try to get them back on track. I lived through my team losing their last four or five games last year, going to the playoffs and got smoked. I think that's what's going to happen again. Bears are going to win this. Caleb to Roma Dunze, two touchdowns in that combination.
Caleb Adunze, two touchdowns. Okay, head-to-head. Love it. All right, let's go on to Sunday. Eyeballs in the Bills-Jags game, I think, pull you to Jacksonville. For a 17-game season, the Jaguars were a better team than the Bills. And I don't think there's too much arguing that if you look at the totality of each team. But I'm going to go with the quarterback in this one. And I'm going to say this is a game that Josh Allen wins for Buffalo. So I'm picking the Bills, and I'm picking some Allen magic with four or more touchdowns combined.
All right. I don't disagree with you on this one. I think Buffalo is going to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville has been having really good defense against the run. I think that might be their downfall, because – I think the running back is going to be the big difference for Buffalo in this, but that's not my bold prediction. My bold prediction is that both Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen are each going to score, both by running the ball in the end zone and at least one pass in the end zone for both of them.
God, each of them have a run and pass touchdown. Okay. Yep. I would be very surprised if that game is not close as well.
Yeah, I think it will be, but I think Buffalo comes out.
All right, so the middle afternoon game, going with the heart here. I'm going to say that the 49ers finally end the run of the Eagles and pull off what would be a pretty considerable upset in Philly. And I'm going to pick Christian McCaffrey to have 125 or more combined yards. But another kind of lean for me in this game is that the Eagles have escaped all year. And they're up against a really good head coach, a really good offense. And the Eagles defense is excellent. But I think this is maybe their luck runs out a little bit and they're unable to escape on Sunday. I wish I was more confident in it, but that's where I'm going.
I think I agree with you. I'm a little bit nervous about this, but I'm leaning towards the Niners in this too. I think they're going to win this game. I'm a little bit nervous after last week. I picked them to take out Seattle, and Seattle just sort of shut them down, and their offense looked lost. But I don't think Philadelphia has the firepower that Seattle does to do that, even though they're a very good defensive team. And I also think Purdy is going to have a really good game. And my bonus pick here is he's going to be a 100-plus QBR in this game. And that's going to be the difference.
100-plus QBR for Purdy. Okay. So far, we agree on three of the four. Let's see. I bet you we don't agree on this one. This was the night game, the Sunday night game, the Chargers-Patriots was my hardest pick. I really waffled on it because I'm doing something that I probably shouldn't do, and I'm picking the lesser team to somehow win the game. Because New England's been better than San Diego this year, but I'm going to pick another upset. I'm going to say the Chargers go in on Sunday night and pull it off based on Justin Herbert's best game of his career. He's going to really outshine Drake May in this game.
My bold
prediction is that Herbert wins it for the Chargers by outplaying May.
Okay. I wish, you know, I would love to see that happen. Because I would love to see all the road teams in the AFC win and my team win at home and sure. They would have another home playoff game. I agree with the Buffalo winning. I don't know if I can take the against the Patriots. I'm going to pick the Patriots on this because I don't think the Chargers have enough to outdo all the Patriots at home. And I think Drake May is going to be the superior quarterback because I have him down for four scores in this game.
Hey, four touchdowns. Yeah, this is one of those truth serum games. I'm not sure if I believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. But there's part of me that thinks this is sort of Herbert's time, meaning he's been in the league long enough. He's had a couple playoff disappointments, and this is a big moment where he's got a little bit of the underdog going. The offensive line's a mess there, unfortunately, for him. That could be a big, big problem. But
I was going to mention that. That's what I think.
It's the first rodeo for May and the Patriots. There's a little more experience there with the Chargers. I do trust Harbaugh in this kind of game. But I think, this is the one of all the six that I'm least confident in, but I'll stick with it. Moving on to, I guess, the grand finale. Monday night, you get an extra day of rest to prep for this late night affair. By the way, just as an aside, I love the Super Wild Card weekend. I love the six games. I think it's great. I wish they do two triple headers and not have the Monday night game. I wish we did a triple header on Saturday and a triple header on Sunday and just called it a day. I don't love that. That Monday night game feels weird to me in the playoffs. I don't love it. But that's where you're going to be playing. And, the Texans are definitely the popular pick here. I'm slightly hesitant, but I am going to go with the Texans. And I think they're going to hold the Steelers to 17 or fewer and kind of win the game in the way that everyone probably kind of expects it to happen. And that is that the Houston defense will stifle Rodgers. They won't embarrass him or completely shut him down, but there just won't be enough yardage there for him. I think that D'Amico Ryans will have some answers for DK and he'll be back and the Steelers. And there's another part of me, Darren, that thinks, gosh, all the credit to the Steelers for their toughness and the way they've battled through the year and finding ways to win these late season games that have really mattered. But goodness gracious, it's been by the skin of their teeth. And this Houston team is a lot better than some of the teams they've been playing lately, a lot less flawed at least. And while I don't totally trust the Texans offense right now, and I think that's probably where you as a Steelers fan can have some confidence that maybe you can win a 16-13 game or a 17-15 type game. But I'm going to say the Texans win. Their defense holds the Steelers to 17 or fewer, and your dream ends on Monday night.
Well, I am going to be a little bit of a homer on this because it's not, but I think in my heart of hearts, we've got a lot of history going on this. The Steelers have not lost a home Monday night football game since the 90s.
We've talked about this. We've said, yes, they have.
Well, okay. This is a real Monday night football game.
A previously scheduled Monday night football game.
So the Houston Texans have not won a road playoff game ever in their history.
Yep.
So there's two things going in the Steelers' favor. I think you have a very motivated, elderly Pittsburgh team. Cam Hayward is playing like he's 24 years old. I mean, he was probably the main difference in that game against Baltimore because he was just destroying anybody that the Ravens were putting up against them. I think the Ravens have a better offensive line and a bigger offensive line than the Texans do. I think their offense is going to be in trouble, and I think Steelers are going to be sending blitzes galore with their three-headed monsters from the OLBs, and I don't think the Texans are going to score much points at all on them. Defensively, I'm a little bit worried about that, but just like the defense has grown into this year and learned how to play without some of their superstars, you know, learned how to play without Ramsey, learned how to play, you know, when Darius Slay, they let him go. They figured some things out. They're playing their best football right now on defense. They're playing their best offensive football. Rodgers just had his best game of the year passing-wise without DK Metcalf. He learned that he has other weapons. Thielen has really come on and started to be part of the team. MVS is starting to do that. And now you put them in, the running game has been improved. I don't know. I think that they're going to have some answers for Houston, and that, you know, very good outside linebackers on Houston. They put a lot of pressure on, but you know, the tackles, you know, Dylan Cook has come in as a four string tackle and he has been so solid. Yeah, he played very well against Myles Garrett. He played very well against Van Noy last week. Good against Miami's pass rush. They're solid. They're a second year tackle from Washington. I'm not going to try to say his name because I'll mess it up. But he has been very solid. I think they're learning how to play together. And Rodgers has a lot of magic left in him. And I would not count him out against a defense that's very aggressive. And a guy that releases, you know, one of the quickest releases in football. I don't know that their pass rush is going to get there. So I think the Steelers are going to win this. It's going to be a low score under 35 points. A Boswell kick is going to make the difference in this game. Steelers win.
So Boswell kick is your bowl.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I had some pause with my pick. I don't feel crazy confident for a lot of the reasons that you mentioned. But I'm gonna oppose you on it, but I'll be kind of pulling for you, just as a fellow fan, come Monday night.
And we're also gonna hear we're gonna have a priest put holy water in both end zones this weekend. The kicker for the Ravens missed that end zone. Before the game, a Catholic priest was sprinkling holy water in that end zone. They have it on film.
Oh, my gosh.
The game. Mr. Rooney had him go down there and do that to bust the field or whatever. And that's the end zone that he kicked at and missed the kick. And by the way, Boswell's missed extra point was blocked. They showed it today. Somebody, that one guy got a hand on it. That's why it missed on her. So
I did want to mention something about that game very specifically. the final kick that Luke missed was about 40 yards. What was it?
Yeah, it was 42, 40, okay. Something.
I think it's a huge mistake by Harbaugh there. They had 12 seconds left after the likely catch, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And they had, I believe, two timeouts. And what they I know they had one for sure. They had, I believe they had two, but they had one for sure because they used it. So what they chose to do was they had about a 38-ish yard field goal set up, something like that. Maybe it was right around 36. And they had Lamar go about 2 yards backwards and take a knee to turn it into about a 40-yard field goal. Now, in the NFL, that's certainly a kick that any kicker should make. But that's not a gimme. That's a full 8 yards more than an extra point. And that's a lot of extra pressure to put on your kicker. Now, I realize that Derrick Henry's had some fumbling issues this year, but I think you got to trust him there. I think you hand that ball off with 12 seconds left, right up the gut or off tackle or whatever, and you try to get an extra 4, 3, 2, whatever, you know, get a couple extra yards. And then because they had two timeouts, they really could have probably done it twice, you know. And heck, if you bust, you know, one for 6 yards, well, now it's a 27-yard field goal. And even if he shanks it a little bit, maybe it shanks it after it's already gone through the uprights. So I think that was a mistake by Harbaugh there to be so willing to concede the distance on that field goal.
Yeah, I think you're right. But as far as he missed it by like 15 yards off the upright, yeah. I don't know if he would have been 20 yards closer, he would have made that one.
But what you don't know is that if it's 10 yards closer, maybe he relaxes more. You know, maybe the whole process is a little different. You know, maybe that little extra distance just had him a little rattled or frazzled. You know, I think I just don't like, especially when you're losing the game, you know, maybe a little different if it's tied, but, or roll Lamar out and tell him, you know, we gotta trust you on this one, Lamar. You can't do it and make any negative plays. If something's there, hit it. If it's not, throw it away, clock it, you know, whatever. But yeah, I thought it was a little too conservative and a little too willing to just put all the pressure on your rookie kicker in that spot.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, but I think the pressure got to him. He puckered up, you know, he did a Scott Norwood on it. You know, you had a high pressure situation, the season's on the line, and, you know, it's a tough situation for somebody that's what, 21, 22 years old.
Exactly. So let's make it easier. Yeah. That's kind of my thought, you know. What if Henry busts one for 20 yards, you know, and then there's 3 seconds left, you call a timeout, and now you're kicking a, you know, 19-yard field goal or something like that. You know, so that's – I don't know. I thought of that immediately when he did it and thought about it again afterwards. And now I guess Harbaugh has all the time in the world to think about it.
Yeah, not necessarily.
He won't have too long to think
about
it. He's
got a lot of interviews going on this week. So.
Yeah, he won't be out of work for long, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. Well, we got some interesting picks, an interesting weekend coming up, a great weekend of football, both the NFL. We got some great college football playoffs coming up, too, which should mm-hmm. be very interesting this week. And might be one of my favorite weekends of the year to have, you know, these 8 games that should hold any football fan's interest because they all mean something.
Kind of jealous. Yeah. We were here last year, and hopefully we're back in 2026, or I guess 27 from a year.
Just as a football fan in general, though, you have, you know, these 8 games that all mean something. Last week we had 3 games that meant something, really. You know?
Yeah, it's good stuff, no doubt.
So, Ed, I wish you luck on your picks here, and we'll talk to you again next week and pick on the next week.
Thanks, Darren. Good luck, Steelers.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network. your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude. And I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you got to do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.